We're reading chosen excerpts about the ninth of Ab, and we're the ninth of Av, and we're continuing from excerpt number 16.
I look at our groups. They remain in their places. I look at this group, which is before me. It is emptying in the last part of the lesson. People don't understand that this part is very important because it gives us the foundation for connection and for dissemination and for extension. And everything that we read before needs to be realized and executed now. And I think that these are things of maybe ethics or something. It's not too bad if I don't participate in it. Okay. I can't explain beyond that.
Excerpt number 16, Bala Sulam, letter 16. There was a precondition from the beginning of the reception of the Torah, but afterward, since the time of the making of the calf, the package has been taken apart, since wars occurred and the children of Levi killed 3,000 men by the word of the Creator, and then the complaints against Moses and Aaron and the spies, naturally all those did not add love or unity. Afterward, after the coming to the land of Israel, meaning, it was still not quiet. Hence, it was irrelevant to ask anyone to uphold this prime commandment. However, in order for the Torah not to be forgotten from Israel, they began to engage in the rest of the commandments, although they had abandoned its main point, since they had no other choice. Perhaps this is what our sages meant when they asked about the ruin of the Second Temple, that there was no idolatry there and they were proficient in Torah. So why was it ruined? They said it was for unfounded hatred. Perhaps this means that it was because they could not engage in the heart of the construction of the Torah, which is love your neighbor as yourself.
Which means that to start with, they engage in love thy friend as thyself, but the egoistic desire that wasn't corrected, it still remained in the stony heart, increases and increases from day to day. They could not overcome it. Even though, on one hand, they disconnected from the ego and managed to rise above it, that's considered that they left Egypt and rose to the land of Israel. That's in an internal manner it happened that way. It's not Egypt or Pharaoh, but these are internal discernments in us. As we rise above the ego and connect between us, and this connection is called the land of Israel. But at the moment that we connect, we come to scrutiny with more shattered vessels, which are truly very, very heavy and don't let us continue with the connection. This is considered that the Levites killed the 3,000, and then the issue with Moses and Aaron, the spies, where are we, to where are we, for what, to where, as not all the desires in man agree in continuing with this process to extend onwards to those that are revealed, that are heavier and heavier each time. Of course that all of these didn't add love and unity, that's clear, as the shattered vessels come to scrutiny and don't add love and unity, but to the contrary, as if they're against them. And then and the coming to the land, also that hatred which went on between everyone, and accordingly there wasn't even place to want someone to observe this mitzvah of love thy friend as thyself, the connection, the main connection. But in order for the Torah not to be lost from Israel, so that at least something will be remain in the behavior between people, they began to engage in the rest of the commandments, although they had abandoned its main point. Meaning, let's deal with a lower level here, not with relations between man and man from heart to heart, where we need to be connected internally between us, but rather to be in manners, in all kinds of external actions towards one another, I to you and you to me, and a bull and a donkey and the field, and this is yours and this is mine. Let's arrange the relations in such a way that at least we don't touch, we don't steal, we don't harm or kill one another. Why? If we can't connect with our hearts, at least we won't distance by hatred. That is why they started to define in this corporeal earthly state all kinds of laws of behavior, of engagement, which were seemingly similar to the spiritual ones. So not love thy friend as thyself, we'll do it in a lesser way, where don't harm your friend in the way that you that don't do to others what is hated on you, and so on. Meaning they lowered the profile from the degree of the heart to the degree of the hands, the feet, the tongue. So imagine to yourselves that instead of us relating to one another with an open heart and wanting to connect, we take the tongue on slander and start to learn and to execute each time I look in the book, how will I say to the other in order to not hurt him? That's what happens. That's true. As they deserted the main point because they had no other choice. And then it's not that they were drawn to it. There's no other counsel. Let's at least do that. The time to do to the Lord. And perhaps this is what their sages meant when they asked about the ruin of the second temple. That there was no idolatry there, and they were proficient in Torah, so why was it ruined? And they said it was for unfounded hatred, where they didn't work on the heart. They did all those very nice things in externality, as no one, God forbid, doesn't touch the other and what's written in the books, but in the heart rejects and hates each other, each and everyone. Don't get close to me, I don't get close to you. It could be that the meaning is that they could not engage in the essence of the Torah, which is love thy friend, thy neighbor as yourself. Okay? Questions? None? Nice, I explained it well in that case.
Well, we say that don't do to others what you hate, that is also part of the correction. But here it shows us that it was not enough and it actually brought about unfounded hatred.
Okay, well, I don't want to interpret it so much because it's... Meaning, what is done thus far till today in Torah and Mitzvot are external things. That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the internality of the Torah, where you need to observe it according to your heart. Meaning according to your heart, you need to first correct your heart, and then you'll be able to do it. And externality, you can do without the correction of the heart, without intentions. That's the difference. That's why, on the other hand, the externality that is observed is convenient for the general folk, and they can do it. And it's good, because at least in that way they can do it. But when the time comes when we need to correct the internal kelim, there's no choice, and we have to come out with Kabbalah books, and that which the last sages write to us, from the Ari onwards, the students of Baal Shem Tov, Baal Sulam, Rav Kook, Rabash, and to see what we are doing. Yes.
Why in Judaism is there no understanding that we're engaged in the 613 mitzvot because we have no other choice and we can't engage in love of another as thyself?
That's a big problem to tell that to people. On the contrary, you need to explain to them that what they're doing, that where they're observing Torah and mitzvot corporeally in this corporeal world, that that's enough. Because otherwise, you will take the importance of what he does out of him. If you tell him, what you're doing is, it's not worth anything. That is prohibited. Don't put an obstacle before a blind man. Rather, let them engage in it. Let them even be against the wisdom of Kabbalah, because that sustains them. It connects them for the time being. It holds them to be a nation, a group, and so on. Yes. You can see how united they are between them. If you don't have another form of connection, then you're prohibited from destroying that. What will remain at all from the people of Israel, the corporeal people of Israel, the nation? It's not good. We don't do that. We do it gradually to the extent in which the problems increase on the outside. As people get wiser on different layers of humanity, so slowly, slowly, like Rambam says, we reveal them this secret slowly, slowly, and they will become wiser and so on. Okay? Yes?
These people, you see that they're very devoted for many years. All throughout the exile, that they're devoted, they're willing to give up their corporeality, at least this is how it seems on the corporeal level. They're willing to live in restriction and in order to keep what they see as serving God by their Torah. Is it a force possible to be used with the right intention, or is something that has to be annulled and start from scratch?
We don't cancel anything. And we also don't do any criticism against them. We're not, God forbid, against what people do in general in this world. Every single person. Moreover, those different religious groups in Judaism. We're not against them. We're not saying that there's something in them that we want to break or to change. No. We just, according to the times that we have come to, need to open the eyes of people and to join to them other spiritual discernments that they need to engage in, can correct and connect. Because this situation comes from the time of the Ari onwards, it began the unfounded hatred between the Litaim and the Hasidim, and also in Israel it continues, the different factions, where 400 years have passed, 500 years even. You can see it hasn't stopped. And all these things are not beneficial, not to humanity, and specifically not to the people of Israel.
Maybe we can say that the only thing missing is to renew the intention that was lost over time.
We have nothing but renewing our intention.
And renewing the intention, this is our work, meaning we can't have any complaints against them, but we're the ones that have to bring a new intention to this, into our world.
You're right.
So our work is only in bringing a new intention, renewing the intention in this world.
Mostly it is our work, and from our work it could be that there will be changes in them as well. Yes. but we are not coming to them. That's why all our dissemination is only the dissemination to the people of Israel that doesn't have any intentions or any engagement that has to do with the Torah, whether in externality or internality. That's why we disseminate there. And dissemination is a must, like Kabbalists write to us, that the people of Israel all must belong to this. As much as they are the people of Israel, how many millions is it? It's, I would say, 100, 200,000 if they were to be closer to corrections. That's enough already for the correction of the world. I'm not talking about 15 million Jews. That's just like that, numbers. But really, those who can be connected to the process of correction. They understand, they feel, somehow they belong to it some way. But of course, I don't expect all those masses from the Orthodox Jewry to engage in the ways of Kabbalah and start doing this. There's also no need for them to do so. There is no need for that. The coming of the Messiah is not on them, not depend on them. The end of correction does not depend on them. It depends on the heart of man. We just need to draw to us more and more hearts that have a willingness, a preparation for that inner correction, and continue in such a way. The main thing is actually between us, inside our tents. This is the source from which the more it expands, it'll spread more. But the main thing has been already arranged and done, that we have groups, and within the groups we can start and do connection, and from that connection it's already going to spread onwards. Carmiel. Can we hear? We can hear you.
Can you hear us? Good morning, yes. Rav. Good morning, dear friends. To continue David's question, what's unclear is what should be the new thing now in our call to the people of Israel, to the world, for them to understand the importance of the correction and connection with all the wars and the terrible suffering that people are going through, went through, did not bring them to it. So what kind of new suffering could bring to this understanding?
I don't know, I'm not smart like you, who makes calculations of what was, and therefore why should I do it now? I'm not wise like you. I know that yesterday I was hungry, I ate. Today I'm hungry again, and again I want to eat. And again I'm waiting for when I will eat. That's it. You're making a calculation on the exertion. Why should I exert if the last time I didn't get any benefit from it? That's how a person thinks, that doesn't want to bestow but wants to receive. Therefore, there's no point in continuing to talk here. Well, continue.
I don't mean what will I get out of it, only in what new different way do I have to turn to them so that it will speak to the people of Israel?
To the extent of what we receive from Bala Sulam, from the articles, to the extent of what we scrutinize, we need to do. And nothing about what was do I want to hear about. And you're not allowed to sound that to the groups or to anyone. That is prohibited. By that, you're weakening everyone in foolishness, as if we can take some diagnosis of what was. There's nothing worse than that. Next.
Excerpt number 17. The main flaw of the students of Rabbi Akiva was because there was no love between them. That, by that, you draw the Torah. They had to extend from Rabbi Akiva their teacher, which was the revelation of the Torah. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Anan b'chavivuta talia, that we need for there to be great love between us, that this is the main thing. And as brought by the students of the Ari warned them several times that there has to be great love between them. And one time he said that he was willing to come to Jerusalem, that by them redemption will come. However, it was corrupted by the little dispute that was between the friends that came from their wives, because the gist of the drawing of the Torah, the extension of the Torah, is by love and mercy, that by that you achieve the reception of Torah and plenty and abundance.
Meaning until there will truly be a great attraction in the group, we won't be able to come to the great correction. Well, let's hope it will be. This coming Friday, we're beginning to do discussions towards the Sabbath, both for men and women together. And let's hope that this will help. Yochi, please.
Good morning, my teacher.
Good morning.
So, what would you define as good dissemination that contributes to...
First of all, with us. More and more and more strengthen the tens. That is the main thing. Without that, all the expansion in all directions is crumbling. If it's not a unification from within, it's only to the extent in which you're united inside that you can accordingly go outwards. That's it?
But what's the message?
There's one message which is called connection or unity.
I'll tell you. I don't want to really talk about this, but what we're doing now, for example, yesterday, there was someone who was really an ultra-Orthodox Jew, and he shared what I said about, you know, the wisdom.
I didn't understand.
I published this video, and someone who's really an Orthodox Jew, who, I don't know, what does he do, but he shared my video to his friend and said, listen to the wisdom of truth. This is what we're talking about, the unity in the nation.
Well, and?
So unity, that's it, that's enough.
Yes, Ming, I didn't understand. So you did a clip about connection, and a Orthodox person took that clip and sent it to his friends?
Yeah, he has like 5,000 friends with him on Facebook.
Listen, what was their response?
I see that they too shared it.
Nice, so you did something good.
So keep on going.
Continue that way.
If you're talking about connection...
If you're talking about connection, it can barely be that there's someone that resists. It could be, but then he has to somehow explain himself why he resists. Because against unity, it's a problem.
I'm also starting to understand you. There is criticism here and there.
Really? There's criticism against me? It can't be.
No, that it helps you focus. That there's no need for them to disappear.
No. They won't disappear.
Yeah, it helps.
Leave that. You need to do what's upon you to do. And what they do, let it be.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it will be revealed that it was all actually between the two of them, the scrutinies will occur. It'll be good. It'll be good. Good. Yesterday.
Yesterday, you said on Twitter something about the media in Israel that filter information about the hate of the world toward Israel, and this is something that is possible to correct only by unity in the nation. Now, someone responded and asked the question. I want to ask on his behalf. He said, what connection are you talking about? Connection between souls in the synagogue, parties, men and women, religions? What kind of unity?
First of all, answer there. I don't read what they're saying, or nor do I respond. So maybe you can write something already in my place. Every single action needs to be, first of all, clear from the point of its goal. What do I want to answer him? What do I want to attain, to achieve? And then from that, I need to know, so from what place do I start? And the connection between those points, where I am now and where I need to go to, will be the answer. If he's talking about unity, then unity that I mean is a unity without correcting any person, like they think that I am somehow changing his perception, his mind, his heart or anything. Nothing. I just want to know one thing. That we, with all the multitude of contradictions between us, can rise above those contradictions and unite there between us. Otherwise, we will never reach connection. The people of Israel must be connected on two levels, on two floors, which are called upon all transgressions, which is on the first floor, and will cover love, is the second floor. Let's learn how to do that. That sandwich where you will eat later will be very tasty. Both love and hatred. Both plus and minus. Both sweet and inside a little bitterness or salty or something. Otherwise, you can't have one without the other. It's impossible. But only in such a way. And in such a way, all of creation must exist, and it will exist only if the people of Israel will take on this approach towards all of creation. That's it. So we need to learn how to be connected above the differences, above the hatred, above the rejection between us. Yes? As on one hand, I come to you and want to choke you, to truly choke, and on the other hand, I hug you. And between the two of them, we exist. That's called the middle line. Only between the two of them. We need to learn how to exist this way. Therefore, you're right, and he's right, and he, and he, and he, and they're all right, and every single one in his own. But the general truth and righteousness needs to be above them all in love that covers them all. And we need to learn how to do this. That's faith above reason. That's the middle line. It's in rising above the nature of man. This is called existence on a spiritual level. The moment we learn how to do this, we rose above the clouds, above this force of gravity, this gravitational force, and now we are in the open world. We will begin to feel the reality that is existing in the spiritual dimension between us. Yes.
How can there be change without change?
The change will be by us adding the force of good upon the force of bad. The force of evil comes from the Creator. The force of good, we according to our demand, he gives it to us too. That's called he creates the light and emanates the darkness. But we need to put them all together. As darkness, light will illuminate.
So what unification are you talking about? What kind of unity?
I am talking about unity between everyone above the hatred, because each hates the other, also himself. And to learn this, we can only through the wisdom of Kabbalah. It teaches us what the middle line is, the golden path. And that which we build is that sandwich. There, inside, between the upper floor and the second floor, between hatred and love, we discover the Creator. And we are with Him in dvikut, in adhesion. And we attain our existence, our eternal whole existence there. And we don't need to destroy the bad, but rather just understand that it is a foundation in order to add to it the good. That's why I'm willing to meet with every single person, every hater. I don't even see him as a hater. I see him as a partner to the new state that we need to reach. Okay?
No.
Well,
Rav, just to share, to continue what Yochai said, we have two new students in the campus, religious people that came with very strong, they were really hurt because their daughter stopped being religious. And the wife of one of them wasn't religious, but she's with us for several years now. And what happened is that they came to the campus and they weren't sure that they're doing the right thing. But gradually it grew on them until on the seventh lesson, we talked a lot about Torah and mitzvot, and it was really hard for the husband. He exploded, and he came up and talked to me. And I said, do me a favor, just read the first passage in the article, The Wisdom of Kabbalah and Its Essence, and come with questions. He came a week later, and he says, I read four pages. I want to tell you thank you very much. His brother-in-law that wouldn't come to us in any other place, he came, that couldn't come to us in any other way, he came to us through that article too, and it's a very special force, and I hope that we'll really be able to pass it on in our connection.
Nice, it's worth it for me to read it too. And with that,
and today we have the evening lesson. You're invited to watch the evening lesson at 5:30 live with Dr. Lightman on 5:30. Thank you and all the best. And new courses. And this evening, the 31st of July in Haifa, Netanya, Petach Tikva, and other cities around Israel, there will be the first lesson, opening lesson for the semester, so you're invited. And from unity to one, we're inviting all of our friends to the Congress in Chisinau, Kishinev, Moldova, from the 6th to the 8th of September. For further details, kabbalah.info/convention. And now, really, all the best.